my mother, you know, having someone who always believed in what I did was helpful.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinna. Well, I'm excited to have Rebecca Heinemann on the Passion Behind the Art Show, the owner and creative director at Craftwell.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, I'm excited to have you on. Let's jump right in. Like, how did Rebecca's creative journey start?
You know, that's an interesting question. You know, you always kind of go back and you think about that question, how did I get here? And it was definitely a long and winding path, starting back from when I was, you know, 5 years old and doing watercolors in my backyard and trying to sell them to the neighbors. And then, you know, all through high school, it's what I did. I think it's probably because I was so bad at math that I ended up thinking, oh, well, I'll go into the design classes, but I loved them. You know, I enjoyed being in all of those classes and I took a ton of them. And that's where I was pushed into that direction. But interestingly enough, when it was time to go to college, I felt like I wanted to do something a little different. So I didn't go to art school. I actually went to a school in New York City called the New School, but it's also part of Parsons School of Design. So I was able to do a liberal studies degree while I took some classes at Parsons to keep dabbling in it. But I just felt like, you know, I always was labeled that art person. That's why I wanted to go into liberal studies and expand my horizons, because I felt like I was so labeled that I didn't know if there were other things I wanted to do. And then out of college, I did some styling for a couple magazines in New York City, thought maybe I wanted to be a stylist, but then I ended up circling back, you know, finally around age 28, I landed at a internet startup.
Okay.
And was doing design there, doing banners, online banners is what I started doing. And then I just knew I needed to stick with that. And now I'm 47, you know, so many years later, and that's all I've done since I was 28 was build on that. And I worked at an agency. And so long story short, that's how I got here.
It's funny, kind of like the thing you were trying to avoid, you kind of came back full circle to kind of get right back into it.
Yeah. You know, kind of something, you know, I just always felt like, oh, I think it was to me like almost this negative thing, like, oh, all you can do is be a designer and draw stuff. Well, hey, you know what? You can actually make a lot of money being an art director in New York City. But I didn't know at the time in high school.
Right.
I thought it was just, oh, she makes pretty pictures. And I didn't want to be thought of as just, that's all I did.
Right.
In my senior year of college, I started playing with that in the school for the school magazine. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I do love this. I actually really love this and I want to get back into it. And so that's kind of when I started to get back into it a little bit then too.
But it's funny you said that, because I kind of went through the same thing when I was also living in New York. And I was trying to decide what I was going to do. And it was just like, you know, drawing and designing didn't seem serious enough to. So that's why I started in architecture. But I totally do understand where you're coming from with that. So let's fast forward a little. We're going to jump back and forth. So now, you know what I mean? You're running Craftwell. You're building this agency. What is the first hour of Rebecca's day like?
Well, the first hour of my day is not that exciting. it's crazy. Like I've gone into this really, I don't know if it's a bad habit or not, but I look at my cell phone within the first 15 minutes. Like, I get that phone out and a cup of coffee, and I sit next to my 4-year-old while he wakes up, and I look at what to do that day because I have multiple clients from multiple places. So I'm usually, and my clients are, some of them are back in New York, and some of them are here on the West Coast. So I'm checking. So not that inspiring, but.
So what about when you get into the office and get ready to start working?
When I come into the office, I'm again just I'm going through all those emails. I actually do try to write down a list in my notepad first before I get online, because I find when I get online, I start to get my attention gets diverted really easily, and I go off on these crazy paths. So if I sit and I try and handwrite my list of all the things I need to do that day that are priority. And then I'm usually just diving into work.
Got it, got it.
I wish I could say that I was being really good in scanning some creative inspiration blogs, but I got a lot of work to do.
I mean, even though, because I think a lot of people struggle with this, getting up in the morning and jump into the phone. I think almost everyone is like trying to find out some kind of hack and that's not the first thing you go to in the morning.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, 10 years ago, it wasn't the first thing I was doing. I was not looking at my phone at all. I was hopping on the subway on my way to work, and I was reading a magazine, and it wasn't about my phone. It's just in the past 5 years that I've become addicted.
And so is that in New York?
I was in New York about 6 years ago.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
That is so cool. I'm so like excited that you are from New York, 'cause I recently came to the South in 2010. Well, I guess that's
Are
recent.
you from New
Yeah, I grew up in New York.
You grew up in New York.
Yeah, I was born in Jamaica, but most of my years I lived in New York, so
Oh, yeah. Where did you live?
I lived in Westchester County. That's where I lived most of my time, but moved different places, but the longest I lived in Westchester County. I worked in 34th Street at a engineering agency, so I don't miss that subway hustle and bustle.
Yeah, I'm sure it must have been a bit of a commute from Westchester into the city.
It was about an hour.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's tough.
So, where were you living in New York?
So I lived a lot of different places. I lived on the Lower East Side for a while, and then we moved out to Williamsburg before Williamsburg was hot, and then we moved to Bushwick before Bushwick was hot, and kind of saw that all up and coming, and it was a great place to live. Great place to live. I love Brooklyn.
Yes, Brooklyn. I lived in Brooklyn too. So it's funny, like when you live in New York, you kind of do a whole bunch of moving constantly.
Always trying to get something bigger, a little bit, a
Which
little more.
can be kind of tough.
I started in 250 square feet, and then with a boyfriend, and moved up to eventually 1,000. And I was so excited to have 1,000 square feet.
So, all right, so why did you start Craftwell? Why not work for an agency and do your thing? How did that come about?
Well, I worked for agencies in New York for about 10 years, and after being in New York for so long, the hustle and bustle is a lot. It's a lot. It's fun in the beginning, the energy is exciting, and then over time, by the time you become 38, it starts to be a little bit draining, and you wonder what else is there. So we decided to move to LA, and then I had a baby. And so that really shifted a lot of my priorities. How can I manage having a family and having a career and being part of an agency? I did work a little bit at an agency here in LA, but the hours are long. You're there many nights until 9 o'clock at night. And so I just couldn't do that anymore. And I wanted to find a balance. And so I've started to, doing Craftwell, bringing on my own clients, and I've been doing it for 3 years now, and I've been able to do it, and I'm so glad that I took the chance to do it on my own because now I'm able to have more of a life work balance that I couldn't have at an agency.
Okay. So what was some of the like the preparation and some of the things you kind of helped you to make this change?
Oh, trying to think of some really key things that helped to make that change.
Well,
I mean, it's
outside
hard.
of getting clients, of course.
I mean, it's hard. It's not an easy decision to make. And in some ways, having Ethan made that change. It was quiet in the beginning, for sure. It's all definitely people that I know through my agency days, that I got work through. And, the first thing I did was build a website, and I got a partner to help me and put in a lot of time just building the site. And, a lot of thought goes into what is Craftwell and what do we stand for, and even the branding of my own of Craftwell was very difficult. It's hard to brand your own site. So it took probably about a year to really build the face. But behind the scenes, luckily I had my clients from Boston Scientific. I work with Allergan out here in LA. They do Botox. Then I've had some smaller clients, and it's through word of mouth. People that I know, that's how I've gotten the business.
Got it. Got it. That's great. So how did the where did the name come from, Craftwell?
Well, I had one name that I liked, and my partner didn't like it, and it had the word craft in it. I just like the word craft because I like that I want to kind of go back to to where it all began. Being a designer is a craft. And not just being on the computer and being so techie, there's a craft to it. And so I wanted to kind of go back to those older days
Right.
where
Where you did everything
did
analog.
by hand. Right. I mean, I actually in high school did do, I did some graphic design where, we brought it in and had pictures taken of, I don't know, so long ago, but we that stuff, I don't know.
So of course, anyone that's like in the design industry are following, the future and stuff like that. Notice that you were on Chris's show. How did that come about, and what type of impact did that make for you?
Well, I just happened to bump into Chris's videos one day, and the one on charging for your logo, I think it
Was it
was like
the
a really good one that really, I think it just helps you to realize you need to be charging so much more. And even after all these years that I've been doing this, and I know that I need to charge more, it's still a hard thing to do, when you're starting out because you want to take whatever you can get.
Right.
So I saw his video. I thought he was amazing, and so I actually reached out to him on Twitter. He actually posted something about, "Hey, I'm looking for a young and up and coming designer who wants some advice or whatever." And I said, "Hey, what about, us old people out here?"
Old.
So he said, "Yeah, this sounds like a great idea. Let's come on the show." So that's how I met Chris. And definitely has been helpful. I mean, one of the things that Chris has helped me with a lot is just getting out there and being really confident in talking about what I do. Because as a designer, and even at an agency, you kind of sit in the background and you let the account people do a lot of the work, and you let the, I don't know, you let other people kind of do the work. The design, but to be a designer, you have to get out from behind your desk. You have to get from behind the computer in order to be successful. Talk to people and talk to your clients. So going on a show, I think, just helped me to be a little more confident and meet a lot more people in LA, and so that's been really helpful.
Ah, that's great. That's great. So, what would you say was the hardest struggle you had to overcome in your journey?
I mean, it's always a struggle, right? Every day is a struggle. You're always trying to, I mean, in a good way, right? You want to have more challenges. You want to have a challenge every day. I think the biggest challenge is always finding, more clients. And that's one of the reasons I went on Chris's show to try and, find new tips and tricks for finding leads.
So what would you say, like, what tricks or tips that you said worked for you the best?
I have to say that I go back to the old school relationships that you have with people. That's where I continue, even with all the tips and tricks that I've been trying, that is where I continue to get my work from. Are from just like 2 weeks ago, a guy that I account person that I work with at George P. Johnson in Boston. I lived in Boston for a little bit. I worked with him, and out of the blue, 2 weeks ago, he called me up and said, "Hey, I need to do an ad concept for a campaign. Can you help me out?" It's through people you know. So I would say nurture those relationships. Don't burn your bridges. And it's the people that you know, and get out there and meet people. Right?
I think one of the most underused things for us as designers is just our personal network, as you said. Like, I think it almost, if you really look back in most of the projects that we get, some way, shape, or form, it's tied to our personal network.
It's people want to work with who they know, people that they like, and they or get a reference through someone. "Hey, I liked working with that person. You should work with them." So it's good to get out there, work at different agencies, work at different design groups, and meet people.
Right. So, who is Rebecca's support system? Who you kind of draw energy from, the people you kind of surround yourself with?
For work at Craftwell or just in
Both.
general? I mean, for work, my inspiration is, I always find that, working with other people, working with people who are better than you is definitely always inspirational. Working at Craftwell, and I have, a few people on my team, and I try to hire people that are better than me so that I get inspired by them. And of course, my husband is very supportive, and my mother, having someone who always believed in what I did was helpful. I kept screwing up in my 20s and going back home, and then trying again and going back to New York. And mom always took me back in and supported me.
That is
So
awesome. That is awesome.
to have someone, right? It's good to have someone who supports you when you're down. And
That's great. I mean, can always count on mommies. Yeah, my mom's awesome. So now you're on this journey. You've been on Christo's show. You're growing Craftwell. I've watched a couple of the videos, and I know that some of the things that you're pursuing and trying to do is getting out there more, right? So, what would you say? What are some of the things that you're currently doing? Obviously, doing a podcast, but some of the things that you're currently doing to kind of get out there more?
Let's see. I mean, for PR, like, that was one of the big questions I asked Chris about. Should I be doing more PR? Should I be going after more PR? And there are magazines, there's a couple of magazines that I still need to follow up with, but it's been, honestly, business got has been really busy. And I know Chris, one of the Chris said is, "Rebecca, you have to hire extra help." And it's still really hard to let go of it.
Do you have like that little Chris voice going off in your head?
What?
I said, do you have that like that little Chris voice going off in your head?
Yeah, I've tried, I've tried bringing in some other designers. I have one that's super fabulous, and I tried to bring in some others. It's still a balancing act. And then sometimes I even say to myself, how big do I want to get?
Right.
I'm happy. I am actually, as long as I'm busy, I'm happy. I'm working on I'm always working on doing articles for the blog. I have a couple of magazines that I need to get in touch with. I need to, update my portfolio with some new work and then get that on fit. I'm always trying to get stuff up on social media, on Facebook and Instagram, but I tell you, I need a social media manager. Like, know how Chris does it. That's what Chris does full time. So,
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a different, I guess,
yeah.
priority. So, the magazines, did you reach out to them or they reached out to you?
I reach out to them.
Okay.
That's kind of the trick. You've got to reach out to them. And sometimes you have to have your own article written,
Right.
your own question, have a, they'll send you a list of questions and then you have to respond to that, or a pre-written article about yourself. So it takes time to do that. At one point, I did hire someone actually to help write the article for me because I just didn't have the time. So you have something well written. I think it's so important to have anything you write, whether it's for your site, your agency site, have it really well written.
Right. So, what is Rebecca most excited about right now?
Well, right now, just this new project that I got from a company called the Solomon Group. So I just worked on a small campaign for them and just hoping that it turns into something bigger and better and maybe a lot more of a long-term client. So that's something that's exciting and is on the horizon.
Nice. So, what advice would you have for creatives out there that are either that's trying to mainly build a studio?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that because I think about this question a lot, and I the answer that I think is really important for any up and coming designer or art director or would-be creative director is to first go and work at a really amazing agency because that's where I learned so much in the 7, 8 years, 10 years, the different places that I worked. And you're going to work with creative directors and account people and copywriters, and you're going to absorb all of those skills because when you run your own agency, you need to be all of that. Best thing I ever did was work at an agency, and you just learn so much. You learn how to build the decks, you learn how to do a campaign, you learn how to concept, you learn how to get out there and speak and present. So start at an agency. That's what I would suggest.
Awesome. Well, Rebecca, before we go, how can people learn about you, what you're doing? Where can they go to find you?
Well, I'm on Facebook. I do have a Craftwell page there, so you can follow Craftwell there or Craftwell on LinkedIn. And I actually do a couple of videos occasionally myself, so you can find Rebecca Heineman Craftwell on YouTube as well.
Nice. I didn't know you
Yeah.
were making videos. Cool.
I try when I have the time. Try and hopefully more so that I can give, share my process and what I do.
Awesome. Well, Rebecca, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Well, thank you, Gerald. I really appreciate you connecting with me. It's been great talking to you.
Right, take care,
Good
Rebecca.
time.
All right, bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks again for listening to this week's episode. I hope it brought you a ton of value. I'm always open for feedback and just to hear what you thought and
what stood out to you the most. So reach out to me through my Instagram or Twitter, DP Creates, and just let me know, like, how did this episode impact you, and what did you get from it? What stood out the most? I would love to hear what it is that brought you value. Thanks again for listening to this week's episode. Be blessed.